This morning's scripture is from Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16. This is called Teaching About Salt and Light. You are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it useful again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a mountain glowing in the night for all to see. Do not hide your light under a basket. Instead, put it on a stand and let it shine for all. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father.
I'm going to ask Colin Boatwright to come, please join me up front here. He and I are going to do at least the first part of the sermon together this morning. I asked you, Colin, to do the sermon with me because last week we were both about the only people wearing neckties here in the church. And I wanted to show the world how much alike we were as we do the sermon. But then I got to be thinking about this, and I was thinking, well, let's see how much alike we are by playing 20 questions real quick. We won't do all 20. Colin, how old are you, bud?
I am 11 years old.
11. I'm 56, so we're not alike that way. No. What color is your hair?
Brown.
Brown? I'm gray going white. Color of your eyes?
My eyes are blue.
Blue. I'm almost black. Okay, so maybe we'll get together on this one. What's your favorite subject in school?
My favorite subject in school is math.
I love history. Okay, here we go. How about this? Are you? What do you want to be when you get older?
When I get older, I would like to be an electrical engineer.
Not a pastor. No. You're doing great. Legos. What's the favorite thing to build in Legos?
I like to build giant planes.
And you make them up as you go along, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. I have no imagination, so you got me on that, bud. Okay, where were you born?
I was born in Colorado Springs.
I was born in Cleveland, Ohio, right on the lakefront, right on Lake Erie over there. Okay. What's your favorite football team?
The Broncos.
Cleveland Browns. I was born in Cleveland. Right on the lakefront. Have you ever gone to Awana before?
Yes, I am in Awanas.
How long have you been?
Since Sparky's.
Since you were that high then. Yeah. Man, this is my first time I've ever been to Awana. It is so cool. Do you have any brothers or sisters?
Yes, I have two brothers and one sister.
I have two brothers. I don't have any sisters. Are you the oldest or youngest?
I am in the middle. I'm
the youngest, see. Okay, we're doing good. Have you ever climbed up a hill?
Yes, I have.
Just to rappel down?
Yes.
The only reason I would rappel down would be to get away from that lizard thing. Okay, this is. Have you ever gone on a beach and had a picnic?
I have not had a picnic on a beach, but I have been to a beach.
Okay, and I have too. And I was telling you earlier about the break wall.
Yeah.
In Lake Erie, they have this break wall that we used to go walk around to keep the waters from overflowing. Now, this is a trick question, and we already went over it. Have you ever seen a river catch on fire?
No, I have not.
I have. Back in the day when Cleveland was an industrial town and it was dirty and just filthy, the factories would push water in through Lake Erie in the Cuyahoga River. And one time the river caught on fire. It was so bad and it was so polluted that you couldn't even see the sky sometimes. And so that was my memory. Now, when you go camping a lot.
Yeah, a lot.
You like camping.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very much.
Yeah. Now, when you go camping, do you ever look up at the stars?
Yeah.
How many of them are there?
A lot.
Did you ever try counting them?
No. Not really.
No? Now, when I was a kid, I could count the stars that I could see from Cleveland. There would be about 8 of them that you could see. Really? I'm not kidding. Okay. Now, another question. 2 more questions. Why are you here this morning?
I am here this morning to learn about God and see what he has for me planned.
Yeah. Now, I know you. So I know you show the best. You try your best to show who Jesus is with your life, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And that's, thank you. You can stay up here with me or you can go back down if you want. Now, it's obvious what Colin and I were doing here this morning. We're showing that a congregation where two people can seem so different could be so much alike in following Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Now, in our Gospel of Matthew reading, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." But in the Gospel of John, Jesus said, in John 8, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." He proclaims himself to be light. He proclaims himself to be the perfect reflection of a loving, caring, providing God Father. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." Ego eimi. He invokes the holy name of God there. Holy name, I am the light of the world. So Jesus is invoking who he is as the one who gives light and life and breath and meaning to our lives. I am, he says, he whom the light of God shines and shines in perfect brightness. And then we come over to, you are the light of the world. You who believe, you who have faith, you who follow Jesus and who depend on him, you are the salty light of the world. That's our first lesson. We are salty. We are not aromatic, whose very scent and beauty and comfort in our therapy like lilacs and orange blossoms. And we aren't curry or cumin that are strong, bold flavors that present themselves brashly. We are salty. Our function as salt is to bring out the flavors around us, to help others taste and see how good the Lord is. We are salt whose presence highlights that in which we are mixed. Mixed in with God, mixed in with our church, mixed in with the world around us. But if there's too much saltiness, that's all you can taste and it becomes bitter. With just enough of us, there is more of Christ. And we are salty as well in personality. As Colin and I showed, God did not make us all alike. Because if we were all alike, where would we find the spice of life? Okay, now, another question. Who here remembers the Patty Duke show? The two sisters, cousins, Patty and Kathy. According to the theme song, they laugh alike, they walk alike, at times they even talk alike. You could lose your mind. How mind-numbing would it be if we were all alike? We are differently and wonderfully made. We are quirky. We have great individual strengths, great individual things that drive us and lead us. And we also have mighty doubts, don't we? We have rational fears. And as you've seen in bold display this morning, for me, we also have irrational fears. We have weaknesses. We have trials. And that's what makes our life salty. We are encouraged by the Lord to show how salty we are, to show his followers and the world how flavorful life can be in him. Should our church, should our family, should we as Christians blend in, what good would that be? Since coming to Covenant Church, I've heard time and time again, we disagree well. And what I take that to mean is our saltiness is on display. We are opinionated. We are strong in our beliefs. We are strong in what we believe. And we take stands, but we are not mean-spirited. We are holy-spirited. We don't have to be blandly agreeing with each other all the time. I had a classmate in seminary who never disagreed with me. "Steve, I agree with you, but..." And then he would disagree with me. We don't have to do that. Our calling is not to agree or to win every disagreement. Our calling is not to show the world how right I am and how I can dominate another person or another situation or the place I occupy. Our calling is to be the light of Christ, to shine the light of Christ, to give God glory. Let your good works show so that others may see your good works, your good grace, your good cheer, and then give glory to the God, the Father in heaven. Now, I admit that many of the questions that I asked Colin were to show our differences, and the last few questions were to show about light and reflected light. Living in Northeast Ohio a good part of my life, living in the light was an issue. As I alluded to earlier, the city is beautifully clean now. Back when I was a kid, it was dirty. And the river caught on fire and black smoke rose. And most days during the summer, you looked up at the sky and you had to look through a smoggy, hazy cloud to see the sun or the moon. From November to March, we literally lived under the blanket of lake effect, mostly cloudy. Often we didn't see the sun for weeks at a time. Then at night, you'd see maybe 3 or 4 stars, maybe. And the moon was often in a haze. And there was constant light pollution. I never knew real dark or the shine of a full moon or a blanket of stars until we moved to rural Nebraska. Living in Colorado, where the sky is clear 300 days a year, Colin knows the reflected light of the moon. When the moon was out on Friday and then last night, it was almost light enough to read by, wasn't it? And on Friday night, Kim and her mom both commented separately how beautiful the light was in the bright big moon. And I was thinking, and I think I even said it out loud, I said, man, that's money in my sermon bank this week, that light, big old reflected light of the moon. Astronomy 101, the moon does not generate its light. We all know that. It reflects the light of the sun. And if you look at the moon, it's pretty desolate. It's pretty crummy looking. It's full of craters and crevices. It's gray ash. But when it reflects the light of the sun, it becomes for us the harvest moon, the new moon, the blue moon, the lover's moon. And sometimes we are moonstruck. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And when he calls us to be the light of the world, we're doing nothing but reflecting his beautiful light. When we reach out to someone in need, when we give our offerings to the church and other ministries, when we love our children and we love on our children and grandchildren, when we pray for victims of human-caused and natural disasters, we are praying and living in the light of Jesus Christ the best we can. We are reflecting his light, not for our glory, but to show the glory of God. When we do good works, when we show what we're supposed to be doing to the best of our abilities, we're showing off. We're a bunch of show-offs around here. And we aren't showing ourselves off in any way, shape, or form. Jesus says, be the light of the world to show God's glory, God's presence, God's love when we hurt others, when the world around us and everything happening in the news just seems overwhelming, so devastatingly sad. We can reflect the light, the teaching, the love of Jesus Christ and show the glory of God around us even when it is darkest. Even when our own pollution of evil actions, even when weather-related disasters, even when the glittering neon signs of appalling sin and appealing sin flashes and beckons, even when we bring disasters on ourselves, we can still see the light of Jesus Christ. I am, he says, the light of the world. And you are the light of the world because you can reflect that light. In the reflected light all around us this week, we've seen Jesus Christ, haven't we? We see the light of life when we walk in the light. as we come to the table this morning, we're going to pray an ancient prayer with Augustine of Hippo. And there was nobody more salty who believed. And we're going to pray it with every believer of time and place, of personality, all those who reflected his light. Let us pray. Everlasting God, in whom we live and move and have our being, our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Give us purity of heart and strength of purpose, that no selfish passion may hinder us from knowing your will, no weakness keep us from doing it, that in your light we may see light clearly and reflect and serve the light of the world. Let us be the people, the church, the city on a hill that forever reflects the light of Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.